Hi, my name is Kalyan. It's spelled as Kalyan. I'm from Hyderabad, India. So my talk is about smart home security with Tor. So I mean, before I start, I wanted to know how many of people use smart homes or Tor in their daily lives. Okay, so I mean, we have seen pretty much cyber attacks recently in like Mirai botnet and Bricabot, like which really takes advantage of the unsecured smart homes and just lock you out of your own home. So let's get started. Yeah, I mean, there's a brief description about me. So Internet of Things is something like, you know, when I say to the people, people will think, what is he saying? People who know about Internet of Things, okay, they understand it. People who doesn't know anything, they say that he's just a madman rambling something which we don't know about. So I mean, if you search in Wikipedia, because that's the only thing we do every time we go for Google or something like that, we search the definitions of few things. So if you search Internet of Things in Wikipedia, you will be getting the following information from it, saying that, you know, it's an interconnectivity between devices where they exchange data between them and everything. Yeah. Hello. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, I could do that if you want. It is. This is what we get from a search in Wikipedia gives about Internet of Things most of the time. So like interconnectivity between devices that are in various forms, like a sensor, a camera, or a smartphone, or a smart hub. So yeah, I mean, the brief Internet of Things that we have right now, so laptops, ovens, machines, and smart hubs, fridges, cars, and everything. This is like estimated like number of things that we get smart homes in the following years. So if you see like 2020 at the last over there, we have around like 50.1 billion devices that can get connected to internet by in the next 3 years. So we need security, because you don't want to be a loser by, like, you know, getting out of like getting locked out of your house. Because before we had a hardware key which got like duplicated much easier, and now it is pretty much easier to just make you out of your house within like 5 seconds. So if you see the scenario of how do this IoT things get exploited in there, like I mean, I kind of did in four types. Basically, DDoS attacks. I mean, you get DDoS attacked on your public IP address for your smart home, or botnets and malware attacks, which we have seen recently in like 2016 and 2017, and the weakening parameters. Because, you know, we should accept that people are like, people make products, but they are not secure because they have like hard-coded passwords or backdoors or many other like XSS or CSRF, which are pretty much useful to bypass authentication system most of the time, and data breaches. Like we have seen, I think there was a month dedicated for data breaches in this year, but I'm not sure which month was that. But inadvertent breaches, like you get connected to a third-party service, and the third party gets hacked. So indirectly, even though you're secure, your data got breached by the third party. Most of the times, we happen to be in the second and the fourth and fifth case. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for that. So yeah, I mean, what we have learned from recent attacks is that we lack security awareness because most of the people doesn't know that, you know, they have to change your default router password or your smart home password or a hardcoded, I mean, like a default password which is present. But most of people doesn't know that it has an authentication system in their devices and default credentials. As we have seen that, you know, if you have seen the top 2017 password, we still have the password as the password itself in the first rank. So that's a kind of problem with us. And too many devices to manage. People like to be very comfortable in their life. They don't want to spend their time like fixing all these things. So they just want to connect to the internet on that time, and they just forget that there's a device which can, like, you know, take your entire data and put it on internet for others to use. And making everything smart is not always a good idea. As my father says that, you know, it makes man lazy because if you see the ratio of the people, people who have technology and love technology, they just wanted to become they just want to use smart devices in everyday life. But it kind of reduces the interaction with the objects. For example, you can control your fan or your kitchen from your mobile phone, but you don't walk to your fan to off it off, or you don't want your kitchen to like off the oven or something like that, because, you know, at some point of time you kind of depend on your smart home to do everything for you rather than do it for yourself. Because it just kind of, we miss that interaction with the systems, because if you everything becomes smart, we'll be we'll be no more a human being rather than a robot, you know, which do this kind of tasks. That's it. So, and the other thing is that we don't have timely updates when there's an exploit or a zero day which is in the wild or came into the market, because we have seen recently the NSA zero days or the Ethanol Blue or WannaCry, because Microsoft has didn't bother to like patch the Windows XP systems and Windows 7 systems. But later on, when it was like when it was at its peak, they said, okay, we are gonna give you the patch because we feel bad or because it is our fault. But at first they ignored it basically. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of funny because, you know, I mean, no one expects your refrigerator or smart TVs to send spam mails. So, because whenever I get a spam mail, so it is going to be like, you know, you have like 50 million euros or 50,000 pounds. So from a system or a mobile phone. But it is kind of fascinating and funny at the same time, because if people see that refrigerator sending a spam mail, they're going to laugh at you saying that how can it do that. But still, of course, it can do, because, you know, when it's connected to internet, you know, it is wide open, much more than the normal refrigerator that we use. Yeah, so this is from the IoT botnet in 2016, I think. So yeah, 25,000 CCTV cameras got hacked, and they launched a DDoS attack. It is kind of smart in terms of the guy who attacks it, because if you like to know the origin of the source of a attack, so it is it becomes much easier to know that it is coming from a camera. But it is it can be a kind of confusing for the people, since people never expect a camera to DDoS your site or DDoS your infrastructure most of the time. So do we need security? So yes. So sometimes we have security in the last picture, because in few websites, you know, if you see the source code, you'll be having something like that: login.html is equals to 1 is for the login page. But if you see the next line, it will be like login.html equals to 2. So if you click on the login.html is equals to 2, you directly can enter a hub of cameras to control everything. So we need to accept that we became lazy because of technology that we depend upon, and also to automate our daily tasks because you don't want to spend much more time on doing daily chores rather than you want to automate most of your stuff, like your oven, like your morning coffee, so that you could just get up and go there and pick your coffee and do your work. And also it saves money most of the time for us. Yeah, so I mean people would like to have their own personalized home setup most of the time, because people are not so sure in these days of using a commercial product rather than building on it on their own, or like working on their own home automation systems. So, and a few people like me who would like to experiment like new things and how they work, they would like to tinker with them most of the time, knowing how they work or how do they interact with each other in their own protocols. And it can be a new experience altogether if you have taken certain responsibilities while we do this stuff. For people who doesn't know how does Tor work, Tor is like an open VPN system where you get connected to a different number of clients once you download their Tor browser. So it Tor client starts up their relay nodes, and you get connected to the another relay node randomly. So your IP address is not revealed in this process or at the ISP level also. So there are like two type of relay nodes. The first one or the entry node and the exit node. So the entry node doesn't know your IP address and anything, but only it just carries your request to the next node. So it has basically three fields: the entry node, your request, and the next node IP address. That's it. So the exit node can only, so the ISP only knows the exit node of the Tor relay rather than your original IP address, which is kind of good, because we in this age of digital security and privacy, we need a few things to do which can be against a few governments or against legal reasons, but still we just wanted to know how things work and how do they get implemented in the real world. So the question comes up, like how can we use Tor on smart homes? Basically, we have seen that most of the encrypted sites have a problem with the libraries or TLS implementation, and also we don't have a proper solution to make smart things much more secure rather than what we have, what they say they are secured. So we don't want others to pry on our personal lives anymore, or we don't want to know that you got hacked after 3 months, and you don't want to know that your son has been watched by someone in the internet by a doll you bought it which is connected to internet. So we will be using an open source system called Home Assistant. It was a mainly written in Python, so we can install this on a Raspberry Pi, and we can operate it from the Tor. You can connect your Raspberry Pi without a need of an extra monitor by using a micro USB and a normal RJ45 jack to your computer, and you can use your laptop screen as a your Raspberry Pi screen. So I am using a latest Raspberry Pi 3 B plus version with the latest Raspbian operating system. So recently the SSH has been offed by default due to the attacks on IoT things. So you could have if you want SSH to be enabled by default, you could just add a folder in your a boot file, just a empty folder saying it is SSH, and whenever the Raspberry Pi boots, it detects there is a SSH folder in it, and your you could use your Raspberry Pi in SSH from the start.
Okay.
So we'll be connecting our system to the Raspberry Pi screen by using a VNC, which you can enable it on entering the sudo raspi hyphen config command, and you can just go for interfacing options and on the VNC server. So by default, all the latest Raspbian OSs come with the real VNC server installed by them. So you just need to enable the VNC server over there and just type the command. So to install Home Assistant in a Raspberry Pi, you can just enter So I have installed it. So to start its service, so you just need to enter hash. So while it's starting to boot, so we could just open. So the Tor RC file is the file which has all the details of the Tor configurations for a client and a server. So I mean, how do we connect Tor to the Smart Home is we'll be creating a hidden service in the Tor so that we will have a unique onion address given to us, and we'll be using a string called server authentication. And also a stealth keyword, which also makes it much more secure to the other Tor nodes, so that they don't know like which address that you are accessing to. And it also requires an authentication cookie to access the home Smart Home system. So without the authentication cookie, your onion address cannot be routable to the exact protocol. Yeah.
What kind of address? A unique onion?
Yeah, unique onion address we will be having. A unique. Yeah. So, yeah, the hidden service directory says where it is installed exactly. And the service port number is the port number where you would like to access the Tor. Port number. You could even keep it as your the same port number as the home assistant, or you could just keep it for default as a HTTP port number. The hidden service authorized client is the thing which gives you a authentication cookie, and the stealth keyword is something like which makes you the connection more secure. Without the cookie, no one can route to your onion address, and it becomes like you cannot get there'll be no scanning of your IP address or DDoS attacks on your system, and no one even connect to your Smart Home system even though they have a onion address. So after you have make the changes, you just need to save it on the Tor RC file, and you just need to restore the Tor service, because it can now create a unique onion address for you with a cookie which you can access in it. So the words SHA-2017 Tor or #2017 Tor are like a generic client names which you can specify on your own, and also the hidden service directory can be anything as you like. Now we need to access the unique onion address and authentication cookie from the hidden directly / host name which has your So yeah, this is your unique onion address, the authentication cookie which you are you're supposed to enter in your Tor RC file on your client side, so that you could access your smart home from that unique onion address. So you need to open the Tor RC file on the installed directory slash Tor browser slash browser Tor browser and data and Tor RC. So you need to define it as a hidden service authentication and your onion address with your authentication cookie. So whenever you go for that onion address, your Tor knows that you are the genuine client who has an authentication cookie and who has access to the home smart home system. So this will be your starting screen where you can add your devices by. So basically you can add your device information in a configuration.yaml file and just keep it on the server so that you know it automatically detects that there's a IoT device connected to Home Assistant, and Home Assistant supports around many. So it's suppose Amazon Echo, Apple TV, and IKEA, Kodi, MQTT, and even Nest and Sonos Media Player. I mean, the total number of components will be around 736 at this point. So they are like thinking to add more components in the future releases of Home Assistant. once you add the information in the Tor RC file in your client system, you just need to restart the Tor browser to update its changes from it. Yeah, it works. Yeah. So basically, if you have seen, there is a not so secured. It works on HTTP because we have shown it to the HTTP protocol port address. So if you want much more encryption, you could just add your private certificate by using Let's Encrypt. Which can give you a free HTTPS certificate to it, and you will be having a much more secured way. And you just need to change a line in here. So you could just take out port number 80, and you could just keep the HTTPS port number as 443, and you could access by using the HTTPS port number, and you could even get your own certificate from Let's Encrypt. And sometimes we have a problem of dynamic IP just assigned to us, so then you could use a Duck DNS service, so that you could have connect to your smart home via Tor using their DNS server, so it will be much easier and much more secure.
Yeah, this is done.
Yeah. If you have any doubts, yeah, sure.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
Have you made this open source?
I'm sorry, the software that we are using is entirely open source.
Excellent.
Okay.
Sorry for this. Is there the tutorial that you just gave, the live demo, I found
yeah.
very cool. Did you document it anywhere that I can actually read? Because it went a little bit too fast.
I have a command list so that I could give it to you, so I'll be attaching it with my PowerPoint so that you could have all the commands that you should work on the server side and the client side also.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, any more?
And your presentation will be on the SHA website?
Yeah, I'll be uploading it as soon as possible. Any more questions? Yeah. Yeah, that is the one thing that if you want all things, then you need to compromise at some point. So, of course, there will be some latency issues with the Tor. But you don't want to be watched by someone. So you need to compromise it, on the speed side. But Tor is really working on to get more to reduce the latency issues, and they are working on to secure Tor internally more by sandboxing the entire process, and also working on new algorithms for the Tor relays and nodes, so that whenever you connect, the random relay you get connected to will be the fastest relay in the network. Yeah, sure. I'm not saying too fast, like a 100 Gbps network or 100 Mbps network, but if you have seen that, if you want to access Facebook via Tor, if you compare the accessing speed by a ISP level to a Tor level, we will be having a lag in the loading time. So it can be reduced to some point so that, you know, it is not as speed as possible from the ISP level, but you will be it will be good to access. Like you don't want to wait the next 30 seconds just to look at a blank screen loading the facebook.com in Tor. So any more questions that you can ask? Thank you so much, and have a great day and happy hacking.